Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1303. Starting with the 11th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 17. Verse 17 being the text verse for this morning's message. Once more, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 17, and page 1303. In your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church, for the reading of God's Word. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And let's read the 17th together. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And let's pray. Father, what a good day you've given us. Thank you for this great family of the First Baptist Church assembled here once again. And many people have been coming here for many years. And we come hopefully, knowing that we have needs to be met, knowing that in this place you've met our needs in the past, and trusting thee to meet our needs once again today. Thank you for so great a church. Thank you for our preacher and for he who walks with thee, that he might give us what we need. When it comes Sunday, we pray that you'd bless the service, the preaching, and open our hearts and minds to thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know what I hunger for? I hunger for the day to come when we get excited over that song. And it's over some of these little ditties. And I'm not opposed to the ditties if they're not unscriptural. I'd like to see us get we cheer and holler. Somebody can sing. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Show me the Bible where you're supposed to have a little talk with Jesus. We'll holler glory to God because of the rhythm. And somebody can sing, abide with me, fast fall the eventide. And we don't care about abiding with Christ. We want to have a little talk with him. We've got to go watch Oprah. And we're too busy to spend a long time with him. That's beautiful. That's all I want to say. That's beautiful. That ranks right up there with it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and especially when it's sung by my favorite gospel singer. Be an unusual message. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the unretrievable. The unretrievable. Without your turning to it, I want to read for you again two of the verses read a while ago, and I want you to listen carefully because these verses are often misunderstood. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Esau was the one who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, or the Bible here says, for one morsel of meat. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. That's the blessing of the birthright. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I've heard people say that Esau couldn't be saved. He tried to get saved, but he couldn't. That's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. There's no way Esau could have been saved if he had done what he's supposed to do to be saved, or trusted whom he was supposed to trust. I want to speak this morning on what that verse means, and I want you to. It'll not be a real. There'll not be much humor associated with this sermon, as far as I know. But I want you to listen to me. I want to help you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'd give me the attention of every person in this room. I pray that you'd help me to be used of God, to help some to avoid tragedy, and those for whom it's too late to seek forgiveness. Bless our discussion today, please. Amen. Dr. Myron Cederholm, whom I oft quote this one statement. Dr. Cederholm is now, I'm guessing he's nearing 80. I heard him say about 10 years ago that he counted on the fingers of his right one hand the number of preachers who started preaching in their 20s and preached for 50 years into their 70s and never turned, fell, or changed. I said to myself, that can't be true. And all of a sudden, I started counting the number of preachers that I knew in their 70s who had preached for 50 years and never changed, or had never fallen, or had never changed their doctrine, or lost their zeal. One of the sad things about living a long time, and one of the sad things about preaching a long time, is you watch your fellow soldiers wounded in action. You watch your fellow preachers, one by one, as they change their convictions, change their doctrine, fall for some little whim of some false doctrine, or even fall in the battle, forfeiting their right to ever preach or pastor again. Let me tell you a sad story. I received an invitation, as I do regularly, to speak. Miss McKinney, I was in her office yesterday, browsing around. I found cigarettes and other things, but I was browsing around, and I saw a stack of letters there. It said pastor speaking invitations. I don't know how many there were, but I'm booked for about 3 years now, but the stack, I guess, that high. It's not unusual. I get them often, sometimes several a day. Years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago, got a letter from a young preacher. Said something like this: Dr. Howes, you're my hero. I'd like you to preach for me. I pastor a church in Michigan. You can still see that church if you drive up I-94, as you drive into Detroit. It's on the left side of the road. It used to be called, maybe still is, the Ambassador Baptist Church. I went there and preached one night for this young preacher. He told me it was the thrill of his lifetime. I still can see that crowd as it packed that building. I can see folks still that night as they were standing around the walls and stood there for the entire service. He was so excited because Dr. Jack Hiles was speaking for him. It was a wonderful, wonderful service, and I felt so honored to be there. I watched this young preacher climb the ladder. I watched him very carefully as he became pastor of a larger church. And finally, one of the largest churches in the Midwest called him to be their pastor out in the states a little west of here. I preached for him numbers of times in that church, probably around 1,800 to 2,000 in Sunday school attendance, big auditorium. Built a nice, beautiful new auditorium. And I preached for him several times. In fact, one time his church hosted the annual convention of Baptist Bible Fellowship, and I spoke for him there and preached at the National Convention of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. Then he was called a pastor of what at one time was the largest church in America years ago. Wonderful man. He and I were a group of four people that banded together years ago to write some literature, some Sunday school literature. We wrote several books containing Sunday school literature, and he and I were a part of that group of four preachers. Knew him well. Dear friend. Wonderful, wonderful, dear friend. Something happened. He was at the zenith of his ministry. I do not know what happened. I just know that there was something that he did he shouldn't have done. He had to leave the ministry. He tried to get back in the ministry, but he could not get back in the ministry because of something he had done. Don't miss me now. A few days ago, somebody stuck a note under my door. Said, did you hear? And they wrote his name there. He just committed suicide. I loved him. I preached with him. preach for him, sat in his office, sat around a table with a committee, same committee with him. I loved him. Now, a similar story is found here in the Bible. Esau. Esau was one of twins. He was the firstborn. His brother Jacob was the younger of the twins. Because Esau was the firstborn, he had what was called the birthright. Look right this way and listen to me now. He had what was called the birthright. The birthright gave him three privileges that were very, very wonderful. Number one, a double portion of the inheritance of his father. Father being Isaac. Number two, it gave him the right to be have the priestly rights of the family. Now you understand that families live together. I don't mean just a unit in the house, but the aunts and uncles and grandparents and several thousand families would have their houses right near to each other. And they had what we'd call a church, no doubt. And the firstborn was the one who had the priestly rights. Let's just say it was almost like being a pastor. And that's what was a part of the birthright. Double portion of his father's inheritance. Priestly rights for the family. Ah, but even greater than that. the birthright, he had the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. I read for you, for example, over here in Matthew chapter 1. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Isaac begat Jacob. It should have said Isaac begat Esau. Because, are you listening? Esau was the firstborn. But he lost that right. He had the right as the birthright to be in the lineage of the Messiah. And it could have said Isaac begat Esau. But he lost that right. Now, he sold it for the gratification of the flesh. Now you listen to me. America is selling her birthright for the gratification of the flesh. And I'm talking to folks this morning who are selling your birthright, selling your right to a clear conscience, a decent life, a good future, a successful life for gratification of the flesh. Esau sold it for one little bit of morsel of meat. He sold the double portion of the inheritance, the priestly rights of the family, and the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. Now here's what he did. He sold it for gratification of the flesh. He got what he wanted. He thought he could have both, but you can't have both. He thought he could have the birthright and also gratify the flesh. Then, when he got what he wanted, he lost what he had. Then he tried to get it back and couldn't get it back. And the Bible said he sought for repentance. What was it? He sought to get back what he had. But he couldn't get back what he had. Forever he had lost his double portion. Forever he had lost his priestly rights. Forever he had lost the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. It didn't mean he couldn't get saved. It simply means that he had closed the door for the opportunities that he'd had in the past, and he sought it. I want my birthright back. I want the priestly rights back. I want the lineage of Christ, being the lineage of Christ. I want it back. Sorry, Esau. He sought, but he could not find it because he could not get what he had sought for. Now listen carefully. It's always the case. Whether it's David, Lot, whether it's Esau, Judas Iscariot, here's always the story. Number one is, you have what you need. Number two is, you want what you don't have. Number three is, you get what you want. Number four is, you lose what you had. Number five, you want what you had. Number six, you seek what you had. Number seven, you can't get back what you had. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, young people watching the dirty movies. Listen, men with lustful minds reading the Playboy magazine. Listen, ladies watching the dirty soap operas. Listen, folks showing your thighs and participating in beach nudity and mixed swimming around the swimming hole. Listen to me. Listen, movie watchers. Listen, blockbuster card owners. Listen to me today. I want to tell you, here's the story. Number one, you have what you need. Now, brother, if you got what you need, don't want anything else. Number two, you want what you don't have. Now listen, want what you have. Don't want what you don't have. Number three, you get what you want. Number four, you lose what you had. Brother, what a terrible bargain to lose what you had to get what you want. Number four, you want what you had. Number five, you lose what you had. Number five, you want back what you had.
Number six, you seek what you had. Number seven, you can't get it back. David looked at Bathsheba. David was the king, a man after God's own heart. He had what he needed. He looked at Bathsheba and wanted what he didn't have. He got Bathsheba and got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. He wanted back what he had. He could not get back what he had and sought what he had. Once you've lost your purity, young lady, you can't get it back. Once you've lost your chastity, you can't get it back. Once you've lost your decency, you can't get it back. In God's name, have what God's given you and quit trying to gratify the lust of the flesh. Lot. Lot saw the well-watered plains toward Sodom. Lot had what he needed. He looked down and saw the well-watered plains toward Sodom. He wanted what he didn't have. Lot got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. You want what, and then he wanted back what he had. But he couldn't get back what he had. Why? Because Lot had forever sealed his life and his earthly destiny because he sought what he shouldn't have had. That's what it means about Esau. Now listen carefully to me. Esau, just like my preacher brother, had what he needed. He wanted what he didn't have. He got what he didn't have. And lost the right for the double portion. And lost the right to be the priestly leader of the family. And lost the right to be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And he turned back and said, I want my birthright back. I repented. I seek to change my mind. I want my birthright back. You can't have it back. But I want, once again, the double portion of my inheritance, my father's inheritance. No, you can't have it. But I want to be the priest of the family. No, you can't have it. But I want to be the... I want to be in the lineage of Jesus. No, you can't have it. Young people, don't set out a life of joy and contentment and good conscience for a little bit of the gratification of the flesh. Don't listen to Hugh Hefner. Don't listen to Hollywood. Don't listen to soap operas. Don't listen to primetime television program. Don't watch the Playboy magazine. Don't watch the talk shows. I'm trying to tell you, you're going to lose something. You'll want back. But like Esau, you'll seek it, but you won't get it back. And Esau goes out and weeps bitterly. Hold it, Esau. Hold it, Esau. Don't go away. Esau, you'll never get back your double inheritance. Esau, you'll never get back your... I got to be careful here. You'll never get back, Esau, the priestly rights. Jacob's got that. Jacob's got the double inheritance too. Esau, you'll never get back the right to be the lineage of the Messiah. Your name will never be in Matthew chapter 1 like Jacob will be there instead of you. But don't go away, Esau. There are some things you can still have. Number one, Esau, you can still have forgiveness. Esau, Esau, you've lost it. You want back what you lost. You can't get it back, but don't go away, Esau. Hey, don't go away. There's still something you can have. You can have forgiveness. Esau, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. Esau, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Esau, as far as the east is from the west, so God will separate that sin from you. Esau, he'll bury that sin in the deepest part of the sea. Esau, Esau, listen to me, Esau. You can't get your birthright back, but bless God, you can get forgiveness. And you can't get your lineage of the Messiah back or the priestly rights back. But tell you what you can do. You can have your sins forgiven, Esau. And I say this morning, you may have gone down the depths of sin and you may have gone down and had the dregs of sin, but glory to God, you can still get forgiveness. There's not a person in this room this morning whom God will not forgive. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And there's a loving Heavenly Father who knows your sins and paid the penalty through the death of His Son on Calvary. Hey, I've got news for you, drunkard. He'll forgive you. I've got news for you, harlot. He'll forgive you. I've got news for you, embezzler. He'll forgive you. I've got news for you, queer. He'll forgive you. I got news for you. I don't care how deep you've gone. Hey, Esau, come back, Esau. Don't keep going. Come back here. You can't get your birthright, and you can't get your first priestly rights, and you can't get the double portion, and you can't be in the lineage of the Messiah, but you can be forgiven. Hallelujah.
Esau, don't go away. I wish you could have the double portion back. I wish you could have back priestly rights. I wish you could have back the fact that it'll say in Isaac begat Esau. That'll never be. That's water under the bridge. That's milk that's spilled. But Esau, don't go away. Don't go away. There's something else you can have. Not only can you have forgiveness, but you can have justification. Not only will God forgive you, but God will make your record so that you have never sinned at all. God will take the blood of Jesus Christ, Esau, I know for life you won't have all the blessings you could have had, but you can be justified. That sin you committed by selling that birthright, God will wipe it out of this book. Hey, I don't care how far in sin you've gone. You can walk out those doors this morning as if you had never sinned at all. Don't go away. Maybe a truck driver here that's pretty well messed up his life. Maybe a sinner back here. Well, if you joined the Navy, you messed up your life. Maybe a sinner back here. You pretty well messed up your life. Some young person has done some things you thought you'd never do. You cannot be what you would have been. You cannot have what you would have had. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Thank God you can be forgiven. And thank God you can be justified. Esau. Please don't go away, Esau. Esau. I sort of like you. Truth is, I like you better than Jacob. I like a guy that goes hunting, better than a guy at home cooking chili. I like you, Esau. Esau, I'm really sorry. I wish you had back what you lost. You sought it with repentance. You'll never get it back. Now, Esau, I'm sorry, but you closed the door to the double portion of the blessing. You closed the door to ever being a part of the lineage of the Messiah. It'll never say, and Isaac begat Esau forever. In the Word of God, it'll be indelibly written, Isaac begat Jacob. Esau, you've lost that. But Esau, don't go away. I've got something else you can get. Forgiveness and justification. But I've got something else. Forgetfulness. God not only will forgive your sins and justify you in the books of glory and wipe those sins off your record, but God will forget that you ever sold that bowl of chili. If Esau had come and put his faith in the coming Messiah, God would have justified him as if he'd never sinned, and the records of glory today would never say one thing about the selling of that bowl of chili. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me this morning to the glory of God, and hallelujah for this. You listen to me. Not only will God forgive you, though you forfeited some things, though you've done some things that have caused you not to receive the blessings on earth you could have received, don't go away. He'll still forgive you. He'll still justify you. He'll forget everything you've ever done wrong. Esau. Don't go away, Esau. There's something else. You'll never have your name in Matthew 1:2. You'll never sit around with the lawyers and get a double portion of all your father's wealth. You'll never pastor the family or be in charge of the priestly rights of the family. But don't go away, Esau. The sad part of this story is not that he sold his birthright. The sad part of this story is that his sin is still recorded in heaven. The sad part of this story is that he never did do what he could have done. And though on earth he'll never be what he could have been, in heaven he could be all that he ever could have been. Esau, don't go away. Don't go away, Esau. You forfeited the right for the
double portion of the inheritance. You forfeited the right to be the priest of the family. You forfeited the right. Have your name in Matthew 1:2 as in the lineage of the Messiah. You forfeited that right. But Esau, don't go away. You can still be forgiven. You can still be restored. You can still be justified. You can still have God forget your sin. But I got some other good news for you, Esau. In case you ever commit another sin, you can still see to it that God won't record that against your record. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Hallelujah. Look at me today as I look across this building, and I'm not going to stare at anybody. I could count that many girls in this room, ladies in this room, who gave birth outside wedlock. In fact, since I said that, I've seen two more. I just glancing around, I've seen seven. But I want you to know, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, God's wiped that all off your record. Oh yes, you've got to suffer here, and you've got to wonder, where's the child? What does she look like? And has she gotten saved yet, or has he gotten saved yet? I wonder how he is. Is he pretty? Is he blonde or brunette? I wonder what he looks like. Or maybe you've got that little reminder of your sin right beside you in the pew this morning. Well, bless God, you can't ever get back what you lost, but thank God you can get forgiven. You can get justified. God will forget your sin. I look around this morning, and I could point to two people who killed somebody. I could point to several like to. I can point to two people in this room who have killed somebody. But since they killed somebody, they heard of a Savior. And they heard that Savior paid the penalty for their sins. And they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you went to heaven this morning and looked in God's books, you wouldn't even see that record recorded. Gone! Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. There are two things I want to do as pastor of this church, and I've tried to do for 37 years. I've tried to tell you don't sell your birthright. I've reared a couple of generations here. Don't sell your birthright. Don't do it. Don't sell it for a night on Lover's Lane. Don't sell it for a few tingles. Don't sell it for the gratification of one gland in your body. Don't sell it for a dirty, stinking Playboy magazine. Don't sell it. Yesterday afternoon, 2 o'clock, I stood right here. A bus kid stood here. Came here when she was 4 years old. 25 years old now. Used to go to our bus kid school. Beside her stood a college student. 3 years in Howells Anderson College and has one more year to go. He stood here. Fine looking young man, tall, about 6'3", I guess 6'2 or 6'3". Good looking blonde young man, a lovely bus kid stood beside him. They gave me a little envelope before the wedding, and I went to the office just before the wedding and I read it. It said something like this: Dear Dr. Hiles, it's from the young man. He said, I can't tell you what an honor it is for us to have you perform our ceremony. But he says, because of you, when I touch her, it'll be the first time I ever touched a girl. I mean touch. I'm talking about holding hands. And he said, when I kiss her, it'll be my first kiss. He's 22, she's 25. Bus kid. Boy, I'll tell you, the judgment of God's going to rise up against you deacons' kids that can't say that. Against you kids that have moms and dads employed in our ministry here. And he said, as I read that note, he said, Brother Dr. Hiles, thank you most of all that you and Mrs. Hiles have set an example for us. When I read that part where he said he hadn't even touched her, I jumped up and down and clapped my hands in my office. That's what I'm here for. Don't sell your birthright. Don't sell your birthright. Don't be stupid like Esau and for a bowl of chili or the gratification of flesh. Don't sell your birthright. It's not worth it. You'll walk back what you had, but you can't get it back.
That's the first thing I've done for 37 years.
I begged you not to sell it. But when you did, you're a little afraid to come to my office because I preach so mean behind a pulpit. You're afraid to come. You're afraid I'll knock your teeth out. You come to my office and you sit there and you find Brother Howes loves you. You'll be treated as gentle as the surgeon treats you. You'll find Brother Howes has a second ministry. Not only, number one, don't sell your birthright, but there's a second ministry Brother Howes has, and that's if you sold it, don't go away. Don't go away. There's still forgiveness. There's still justification. There's still forgetfulness. There's still imputation. What does it mean? God will not impute your sins against you, but He will place on your record the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's no secret. You've heard her testify. And this, one of the best soul winners in this church, for 20 years walked the streets of this Calumet region as a harlot, prostitute. Sold dope. At one time was wanted in 20 states. Selling dope, taking dope, selling her body in prostitution. She came to First Baptist Church of Hammond. I couldn't say to her, don't sell your birthright. It's already sold. But I can say, don't go away. She trusted Christ as her Savior. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. If today you could go to heaven and look at the name Sandy Taylor and look at the record under her name, you wouldn't find a single night listed where she lived in sin. And you wouldn't find a single time that she put a needle in her body, in her veins. And you wouldn't find a single time that she sniffed something and took... You wouldn't find it. And you wouldn't find one single sale listed of her selling dope. And you wouldn't find one list of a bottle of liquor she drank. Why? Because though she lost her birthright, there was something else she could have. This morning, may I say to you, I delight when I look at my people. Most of the people in this room today, I was your preacher when you were a child. I look out and see the couples. I remember when you sang in the beginner choir. I remember when you started in school. I remember when you were a cheerleader in high school or on a basketball team. And I'm so proud of those who never sold their birthright. You made it worthwhile. And I'm proud of you. But to those who have sold it, don't go away. Don't go away. Preacher, don't commit suicide. You can never pastor a church again, but you can be forgiven. You'll never stand behind a pulpit of a great church again, but you can be justified. Don't go away. This morning, if you're here, and you're still possessor of that birthright, don't sell it. Don't sell it. But if you sold it, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. To those who have nestled in your breast your birthright, yet unsold, guard it with your life. Guard it as a precious treasure, for it is the most precious treasure that you have apart from salvation itself. But if you've sold that birthright, if you've been to my office, we shared tears. And you said to me, Brother Howes, I didn't expect you to be like this. I thought you'd be mad at me. May I say to you, I'm proud of those of you
who, though your birthright was sold, you came back to God and got forgiveness, justification, and imputation. If you're here this morning, you've wandered far away from God, you come this morning and say, "Yes, I'm coming back." Esau could never, he could never have had his name written in Matthew 1 and 2. But he could have had his name written in the book of life.
And you may never have your name written if they ever write another Hebrews 11. Your name may not be in it. Or your name may never be in the lineage of Christ.
But your name can be in the Lamb's book of life. You walk down this aisle this morning. Don't go away. Don't go away, Esau.
Esau, don't set it. Don't set it. Esau, don't set it. Hey, Jacob, don't take it. Jacob, don't take it. You tricked you. Don't take it. Esau, don't.
Too late. But don't go away, Esau. You can still be forgiven, justified, and have your sins washed in the blood of Christ. So can you. So can you. Would you bow your heads, please?